Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This story was first published on March 7th of 2009, under the headline Company Town of Valsetts Was Soggy But Home. Now it's gone. Here we go. How much does it rain where you live? Western Oregon has a reputation for being very soggy. Most of the state's western population centers, Portland, Salem, Eugene, get 30 to 40 inches of rain per year. Now imagine getting 120. There was a town in western Oregon that got an average of 10 feet of rainfall a year. This was actually more than any other town in the country, anywhere. Except it wasn't really a town, and it no longer exists. It was called Valsetts, and it was essentially a mill camp, a couple hundred little houses built on timberland by a sawmill at which almost everyone in the town worked. It was in a little saddle in the middle of the Coast Range, about halfway between Monmouth and the Pacific Ocean. The story of Valsetts is the story of the timber industry in Oregon, or most of it anyway. The place was founded in 1919 by the local timber company that built the mill. At its peak in the 1940s and 50s, more than 1,500 people lived there, in the middle of the Coast Range, 15 muddy miles of gravel road from, quote-unquote, civilization, in Falls City. It had its own school district, a company store, and a two-lane bowling alley that looked from the inside like a railroad tunnel. Crime was virtually non-existent because the town was so isolated. The town had no police force. It was all private property, so some laws just didn't apply. Kids zipped around on motorcycles long before they turned 16. Valsetts also had its own herd of elk, a lake with more fish than the residents could ever eat, and wild woods everywhere just outside of town. Valsetts was a sportsman's paradise. It wasn't a timber company's paradise, though. Not in the early 1980s it wasn't. The timber industry was getting squeezed hard. The building boom of the 70s had given way to stagflation and recession. Nobody was buying wood. Advances in automation were making it possible to run a mill with a lot fewer workers anyway. Good first-growth trees were getting hard to find, and the Valsetts mill had been converted to a plywood operation. It made no sense at all to run a plywood mill, where second-growth dog-hair logs are peeled to cores and glued together, smack in the middle of the best tree-growing climate on the West Coast. Federal forests were virtually shut down to further logging, either for legal reasons or because they'd already been cut over. Boise Cascade and Weyerhaeuser and Willamette Industries knew that if they were going to survive, it would be on the trees they grew on their own lands. And for Boise Cascade, Valsetts occupied many acres of the very best of those lands. So, as other loggers and mill workers around the state were trying to find a new job, the people of Valsetts were put on notice that they'd need to find a new home, too. This was harsh. While other timber workers had at least the equity in their homes to fall back on, Valsetts residents had 6 months to clear out with nothing. Quote, "Now I know how boat people feel," one of them said at the time. Many salvage companies tried to work out a deal with Boise Cascade, but the company wanted the town gone right away so the land it sat on could get to work producing logs for other Boise Cascade mills. In just a few months, the entire town was bulldozed, dragged into a giant pile of rubble, and put to the torch. Today, the only sign of the town you'll see is a stand of young trees by the side of a dirt road, and the memorial websites that former residents maintain to their vanished hometown. Key sources in this story include valsetts.homestead.com and the archives of the Corvallis Gazette Times and Sacramento Bee from 1984. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Got an idea for a show I should do or just want to say hi? Drop me a line at fj@offbeatoregon.com or ping me on Twitter at @offbeatoregon or send a message through the Facebook page at facebook.com/oregon.1859. Also, do let me know if you're ever going to be in Corvallis with time for a cup of coffee or a pint of Hammerhead and an inclination to talk about Oregon history. Fresh episodes of Offbeat Oregon History come your way around 6 a.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning. So if you're looking forward to the next one, well, you haven't got long to wait. Until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.